Okay, this is the second shiur in the series of seven lessons of Geula, different sections primarily in Yeshaya of Geula. We read them during the 7 weeks spanning Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah. They're called Shiva Dinachemta, and they help us study Geula. Geula has to be studied. Last week my father asked me on the phone, we were schmoozing, he said, how are you making the mitzvah of Tzibis Eliyashua? The question will all be asked when we ascend to Shemayim. So I told him very simple, move to Eretz Yisrael, which Baruch Hashem he did. But it's also studying Geula, and studying Geula is not as easy as studying Halacha or Gemara. It's not logical, it's not black and white, it's not data or empirical information. It's different, it's strange, it's apocalyptic, it's changing our world, it's unpredictable, there are many different models, but at least some general patterns can be seen. So Parshas Ekev has a very long Haftarah. I'm not going to describe the entire Haftarah. Keep in mind, if you see these Haftarahs in their natural context in Yeshaya, they have very different structures to them. So for example, Yeshaya, the Haftarah we read and we see it as one unit in Parshas Ekev, is really three different prakim. Of course, the prakim are not based on Chazal. They're Christian established, but at least they reflect certain motifs and themes. So it's Memtes, Nun, and a little bit of Nun Aleph. So there's a lot going on in these three prakim. I'm going to relate to the beginning of the Haftarah, which is probably the most familiar part. I'll talk about the end as well, the beginning and the end, because those are the parts of the Haftarah that are most directly related to Geula. There's a lot in between that's only marginally related to Geula. One other point before I begin is we're starting in the middle. Vatomer Tzion Ozevani Hashem is Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet of Perek Memtes. The psukim before, especially the two psukim before, talk about children returning to Yerushalayim from far and distant land, in particular Pasuk Yud Bei. So that's going to be important a little bit later. So just not to feel as if we're dealing with organic sections. For whatever reason, the Haftarah was selected, larger swaths, sometimes smaller swaths. Okay, so the Haftarah begins with a very interesting metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, unknowable, not physical, we are expected to impose our emotional interface, the relationships we have in our world, onto our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make our relationships more authentic and more visceral. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our owner, but an owner can sell a slave rather easily, because it's a piece of chattel. When that slave no longer has value, the owner very quickly sells off the slaves. Even though we're slaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's our Adon, he could sell us, and he could sell us off. So that's a very powerful relationship of submission or submissiveness, but isn't as durable, conceivably. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our husband, but repeatedly, and this is much more apparent in Yirmiyah, that husband felt violated. You can read the first 10-15 prakim of Yirmiyah, and one word keeps recurring. One of the words that recurs with the greatest density and frequency, it's the word zona. Jewish people loved other cultures. Jewish people loved other idols, other pagan forms of worship. And Kikel Kan Hashem, the Ramban says, you know why Hashem is jealous of the Jewish people, Kivayachol, because we are his wife. So even though Kadosh Baruch Hu is our husband, it's very passionate, very deep, and Shir Hashirim is built on it. That could be easily, not easily, but that can be more readily violated by disloyalty and infidelity. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also our father. And the relationship between a father and a son, in some ways, is more robust than a relationship between a husband and a wife. There's a passion level that a husband feels for a wife, but that level of passion also creates a level of hurt and a level of betrayal that can lead to divorce. But a father has more tolerance for a child, for his son. And you'll see very often in Tanakh, if you pay attention, that even though we have, in Yirmiyah in particular, we have violated our marriage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's still our father. And Hashem is willing to be our father even when we have outlived his patience as a husband. If you want, B'nai Yisrael is when we're Hashem's child, Beis Yisrael is when we're Hashem's wife, because we live in his house, like a wife lives in the house of the husband. So if you look through Yirmiyah, sometimes those contrasts are established. But a father can walk away. And the father can walk away out of anger, and the father can walk away out of being busy with other areas. And that's the feeling that the Jewish people have in this section in Yeshaya, in Perek Memtes, in Ahar Haftarah. A feeling of being abandoned, of being ne'ezav, Hashem left us. And worse than aziva, it has been such a long galus, and it seems as if Yeshaya is tapping into a later stage in the galus, not the galus after 70 years, certainly of galus bava, not the galus after 200 years, but where we are, or where we were 70, 80 years ago. Vatomer Tzion, Azavani Hashem, Hashem has left us, v'Hashem Shechechoni. So we have in Tanakh the feeling of Hashem leaving us and not attending to our needs. Keli, Keli, lama azavtani? Why have you abandoned me? Perichav Beis and Tehillim. And sometimes we have in Tanakh the juxtaposition of aziva and shichacha. Lama lanetzach tishkacheni tazveni le'arech yamim in eicha. Shichacha is more pronounced than aziva. Aziva means Hashem has abandoned us. Shichacha means He's forgotten us. You can abandon someone, but still plan to return, plan to recover a relationship, plan to rebuild. But when you forget or when you feel forgotten, that's how the Haftarah opens. The Jewish people reach that state where they don't just feel abandoned, as you may have felt 100 years into the Galus, but forgotten. So maybe He doesn't care about us anymore. Hashem doesn't even, the worst fate, we're not even on our Kodesh Baruch Hu's mind. If you look at the first two psukim of the Haftarah, the word shichacha appears four times. V'tam etzion azavani, Hashem v'Hashem shichichani, once. V'hatishkachi sha'ula, twice. Gam eila tishkachna, three. V'enochi lo eshkachech, four. So what is Hashem's response to assure us that He hasn't forgotten us? Who is He like? Not an owner, because an owner can sell. Not a husband, because a husband can divorce. And later on, Hashem says, well, I didn't divorce you, but that's Kama Hashem, Eze Sefer Krisos Imchem, a little bit later in the Haftarah, the beginning of Nun. But that's not how the Haftarah begins. And even a father can walk away. Father can forget. But there's one person that just can't walk away for biological reasons, but also for physiological reasons and psychological reasons. And that's a mother. And that's how Hashem presents Himself to us in this Haftarah, in this Nevuah, that Hashem is our mother. And hence Hashem is a mother, and we don't often think about it that way. It appears in one parak in Tehillim. I'll put a link to that shiur, and this shiur, a shiur that I gave on that parak in Tehillim. But particularly, when Hashem returns to us, and returns us after 2,000 years of Galus, there's a feeling of His being our mother, because a mother is always supporting a child. Child can't live more than a couple hours without the mother supporting it, without the mother. Again, it's not just the child living off of the mother. The mother feels the need to nurse physiologically, psychologically. You can't separate a mother from a child. V'atamar tzion azavani Hashem, Hashem shchichani, Hashem forgot me. So what does Hashem respond? Hatishkach isha ula. Can a woman forget her baby? Mirachem ben bitna, from having rachmanos on literally a child that came from her stomach. Gamela tishkachna, even if a woman, a mother, would forget these, v'anochi lo eshkachech, I will not forget you. So it's a very, very powerful image of Hashem, not as an owner, not as an adam, not as a creator, not as a melech, not as a girl, not as a husband, not as a father, but as a mother. And Hashem says, since I'm your mother, heinal kapayim chakosich, I've carved you on my hands, very visceral, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in very visceral ways, but then chomosayich, the walls of Yerushalayim, negdi tamid, are always in my presence. Think about our desire of shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. Hashem is also mekayim shivisi am Yisrael lenegdo tamid. Hein al kapayim chakosich chomosayich negdi tamid. So that's the first lesson of Geula from Yeshaya, that Hashem hasn't forgotten us. And even though we seem to be distanced and we seem to be forlorn and forgotten, Hashem is like a mother constantly nourishing us. Okay, now who is the baby of this mother? The baby is Am Yisrael. If Hashem is the mother, the baby is Am Yisrael. No. In this Haftarah, the baby is Tzion. Tzion is crying out, Hashem has forgotten me. And Hashem says, no, I am your mother, and I'm thinking about you, Tzion, and your walls are always present, and I'm always thinking about your walls, Lenegdi Samid. Why is Tzion so prominent here? Why is it not a statement to the Jewish people? To contrast just last week's Haftarah, because it's still fresh in our minds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us directly. Nachamu, nachamu, ami, yamar Elokeich. Hashem speaks to us. Obviously, Hashem is speaking to us through Tzion, through the personified Tzion. Tzion that hears, Od Yamu B'Aznayich, in the continuation of the Haftarah. A Tzion that thinks, V'Yamar Bil Vaveich. A Tzion that talks to itself. So obviously, there's a personification of Tzion, which is, of course, us. But why is it Tzion? Well, Tzion was the fortification that David captured. That's the origin of the name Tzion. It was a Migdal Tzion that David captured from the Yavusim. And then he expanded Yerushalayim out of the immediate vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash to what is currently called Silwan, or the Ir David, south and east. And that overall place became Har Tzion, or the area of Tzion. But of course, in our imagination, the word Tzion isn't just a particular area of Yerushalayim, but it's become a catchword or a nickname for the entire Beis HaMikdash, sometimes Yerushalayim, sometimes all of Eretz Yisrael, in particular in our longings to return. V'sechazena einenu b'shivcha letzion berachamim. Or, as Yehuda Levi writes in his famous Kinat Tzion, halo tishali l'shlom asirayich. We desire return to Tzion. That's why those refuseniks who refused the Soviet Empire's attempts to eliminate Jewish identity and they wanted to return to Israel were called Asirei Tzion, or people who were imprisoned because of their love for Tzion. So why is Tzion so important? So first of all, forget the word Tzion. Why is Hashem speaking to a city rather than speaking to us? And partly is because if Hashem speaks to us, we may not have that confidence that He didn't forget us, because maybe He did. Who are we to warrant that Hashem always remembers us? But if Hashem is speaking to Tzion, to a city, to a location, to a place that He chose, to a place that He carved out and selected, so presumably we feel less intimidated, we feel more confident that Hashem really didn't forget Tzion. Hashem may not be thinking about me when I'm in Poland or in Iraq or in England in the Middle Ages, but Hashem's thinking about the walls of Tzion, and through that, of course, He's thinking about me. I am the walls of Tzion, but Hashem is looking at Tzion. So if we're struggling to imagine if Hashem, even through this galus, is still reminding Himself of us and is still attending to our needs, it's a lot more identifiable if it streams through a collective unit or collective element such as Tzion. Second question is why the word Tzion as opposed to other words, as I said before, because Tzion captures the longing for Yerushalayim. Also because this parak talks about how the land was destroyed and ruined, and Hashem says one day it will be rebuilt, and I'll talk about this in a few moments. The word Tzion possibly, it's not clear what its etymological root is, but the word Tzion possibly comes from the word Tzia. Tzia means, Eretz Tzia v'tzalmavet, a wasteland, a parched land. Those hills in and around Yerushalayim are very dry. There's a lot of dry wind when you've stood on in the old city, looking down at the Kotel. Remember how dry the wind can be. So it was very hard for much vegetation to grow. In fact, close your eyes for a moment. When you think about standing in the Kotel, or standing somewhere in the old city, you look around, a lot of yellow, brown, orange, not that much green. Obviously, we've planted and we irrigate, but not that much green. A lot of yellow, brown, orange. It's a tzia place. And that's what we're experiencing. We're experiencing the sense that Hashem has abandoned us and that all of the buildings of Yerushalayim have fallen into disrepair. So the second part of this haftarah is not just that Hashem reminds us that He's our mother, but He's the mother of Tzion, and He hasn't forgotten Tzion. So our hopes and our confidences rise because it's not about us and Hashem, it's about the collective us through Tzion and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there's an amazing turnaround, because Hashem is the mother who hasn't forgotten Tzion, and to prove to Tzion that He hasn't forgotten His baby Tzion, that Hashem as the mother hasn't forgotten baby Tzion, Hashem tells Tzion, your children will stream back in. What is the proof that you will not be forgotten by me? Miharu banayich, your children are run back. Kulam nikbitzu baolach, kibbutz galios, all going to return. Chayani nirum Hashem. All of your ruins will be rebuilt. It's going to be too narrow for people to live there. I'm only quoting this pasuk, as we know the end of the pasuk from, all those who consumed you will be distanced. The children that you bore as stillborns will say, there's no room to live here. Make some room for me. Can you imagine when the Ramban read these psukim? 13th century. He came to Yerushalayim. He could barely find a minion. What did it mean to him? In fact, the Abarbanel, when he read these psukim, he was so convinced that they couldn't refer to the actual Jews returning because there weren't enough Jews to create this mass return. Then it must be Tchias HaMeisim. It must be referring to Tchias HaMeisim. Well, we have seen with our eyes this happen with real live people, not resurrected people. The streams of people that have returned to Tzion, the children that have returned to Tzion, the sign of Geula. This is perhaps one of the thesis of Yeshaya Memtes, of this Haftarah, that the return of Jews to Tzion. How do we know this is real? How do we know? And some of the signs we're waiting for are more celestial, supernatural, and arguable, and Beis HaMikdash, and Mashiach, and Korbanos, and Malchus Yisrael. Is it not? Yad Hashem, and Yemedinas Yisrael. A lot of conversations, but there are certain things that are undeniable. 6 million Jews returning to Israel. 600,000 Jews. Mount Kiyotze Mitzrayim, who were there during 1948. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nevuah, Bonei Yushalayim Hashem Nitche Yisrael Yechanes, that one of the symbols, one of the signs, one of the, not omens, but harbingers of Geula, is that Jews return en masse to Yushalayim. And what's interesting is, this is a very interesting point, is they don't just return as captives who are freed, as slaves who are liberated. There is a discussion of that in the continuation of the Haftarah. Shem says, can you take a captive from a strong person? But yet, even though it's hard to extract or extricate a captive, I will return my captives. But there's a very interesting phrase in which Hashem says, by the way, all your children, Sion, are coming home. I'm your mother, and you are a mother for the Jewish people. You're thrilled that your children are returning. And you know what? They were raised by other people. They were raised by the Hayim Malachim Omnayich. You had kings across the world who were your nurses or who were your trainers. Oman is like an educator, pedagogue for a little child. Visaro Sehem and their politicians, Meini Kosayach, were your wet nurses. Very interesting question. How do we view the Gullus? The simple way to view the Gullus is we're expelled, we suffer, we're enslaved, we're held captive, and then we're released. And all that was a bad dream, and there's very little purpose to the Gullus, and we were in survival mode. When I say very little purpose, I mean very little purpose on the empirical level. On the larger level, great purpose of being a Jew. You learn Torah, you perform mitzvahs, you connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in terms of our identity, the Gullus didn't contribute to that identity. If anything, it challenged it. Some people failed at it, but Gullus is a challenge to our development. It's a developmental challenge. Or there's another approach, which is more prominent in Hasidus and in Kabbalah, is that Jews are enriched by their time in Gullus, and they receive certain developmental aspects to whom they are while they're in Gullus, whether it's in the limited world of Torah, and there's a certain connection between learning Torah Shebal Peh in Gullus, based on the Pasuk Bama Chashakim Hoshivani Kim Esei Olam, that Torah Shebal Peh is, Pasuk Necha, is uniquely fitted for machashakim, for dark places such as Gullus. And not just in the world of Torah, but just think about the modern state of Israel. So the modern state of Israel is a startup nation, high-tech center. Part of it is not the only reason. Part of it is the influx of 1.5 million Russians, many of whom were trained in engineering and computer science and cyber and other areas in Russia. So the fact there's so many millions of Jews in Russia ultimately bled back into Israel and enriched our country. Think of our democratic tradition in Israel. And in the year 2020, having a democratic tradition is not something to take for granted, as we see democracies collapsing across the globe. Part of it is so many Jews and influences from the United States, from England, from well-established democracies, then fed our country with a democratic influence. Think of many people from Sephardic lands. Jews in Sephardic lands, there's a certain lack of formality, there's a certain warmth and open-heartedness that exists in the Arab world. It doesn't exist in the Western world. It's very polite and very decorous and very proper. And there's a certain warmth. And I think people associate that with Israel, with greater Israel. Achi, patoach, havashali. It's more expressive and open and less polite and curt. And so when we return from Gullus, do we return as it were empty-handed, happy to be home? Or do we return because the Gullus experience provided for us and supported us? And certainly Yeshaya suggests that the Hayu Melachim Omnayich, your trainers were kings across the world, the Sarasam and Nikosayach, and they were your nurses who took care of Tzion's children in Tzion's absence. So just to summarize the 3 points of Geula so far. Number one, Hashem doesn't abandon us, doesn't forget us because he's not an owner or a husband or even a father, he's a mother. Number two, he's speaking to his baby, his child named Sion, not to the Jews directly, but to the place called Sion, the collective called Sion. We have more confidence that Hashem hasn't forgotten Sion. Number three, he consoles his baby Sion, the mama, the mother, consoles his baby Sion by saying, your children, Im HaBadim Simecha, will return. 1 point from the Medrash, and then I'll just relate to 2 quick points at the end of the Haftarah. Medrash, very interesting. Medrash says, wait a second. Sion is not just the symbolic representative of the Jewish people, but Sina is a little bit upset because it sees children returning, but it still feels abandoned. So the Medrash takes Tzion not just as the delegate of the Jewish people, but as a separate standalone entity called Yerushalayim, and it sees Kivan Sherasa Tzion Shagolios Miskansim. Tzion sees that so many Jews are returning, V'Hashamayim Varetz Smechim, and the world is a happier place. V'Hiyeinan Iskeret, and she isn't yet attended to. She feels left out. She feels left out from the party. Jews are coming back. World's a better place. Tzion is still desolate. Tzion says, Hashem, what about me? Does this scene sound familiar? I read this version of Yeshaya, as provided by the Yalkut Shimoni, as a description of 1948 to 1967. Jews are returning from across the world. The world is a better place compared to the death and destruction of the first half of the century. One problem, Yerushalayim is still on the out. Yerushalayim is still excluded. Hashem says, you know what? I need Tzion. 1967, we return to Tzion. So in this respect, Tzion is not just a symbolic representative of the return. The return doesn't cause joy to Tzion. If anything, it causes a bit of a stress in which Tzion says, Hashem, what about me? And Hashem responds to Tzion and restores her to the Jewish people. Fast forwarding about a parak and a half, the conclusion of the Haftarah, and pretty much a lot of the psukim in between are not that directly related to Gula, so this is part of the reason Haftarah is so long, because of these last two psukim that are a parak and a half later, when they wanted to be included in Haftarah. Hashem says, Habitu el tzor chutzavchem, look back at the rock that created you, v'yamakeves barnu kartem, in the well from which you come. So who's this rock, and who is the well, and why are we looking? And Hashem says, well, the rock is Habitu al Avram Avichem. Avram is the rock, your origin. V'al Sarah techol elchem, and Sarah was your founding mother. So the Haftarah concludes with a father, but ultimately a mother. Mother is the last mention in this Haftarah. Why should we look to Avraham and Sarah? What message should we take? Here's the message. Ki echad kirasiv, I chose them as individuals. I called them va'avarcheu va'arbeu, and yet they multiplied exponentially. Harba arba zaracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise to Avram, which was fulfilled until we compromised and squandered it, but that can repeat itself. So if you're the Abar Benel, and you see very few Jews in the world, but just know Hashem says, look at Avram and Sarah. You're the Ramban, you can't even get a minyan Yerushalayim, just think about Avram and Sarah. If you're after the Holocaust in 1945, and a third of world Jewry, Rahman al-Islam, has been taken, just think of Avram and Sarah, and one day Hashem will replenish us. So the Haftarah begins with Hashem as the mother of Tzion, and Tzion as the mother of the Jewish people, and ends with the real biological mother of the Jewish people, Sarah Imenu. And then the conclusion is, Kinicham Hashem, very famous pasuk, Tzion, Nicham Kol Chor Voseh, return to Tzion and its desolate, destroyed areas, its ruins, Vayasem Midbara Ke'eden, not just Tzion, but the overall center. Those who have stood in Har Hamoriah know that it is, Yerushalayim is the edge of the desert. If you move easterly, you'll hit the desert. You'll hit the desert that leads more or less to Yericho and the Yam HaMelech. So the Midbar will be restored. V'arvasa kegan Hashem. Sason v'tzimcha yimatzeba, toda v'kol zimra. Look at that word, that the Midbar will be restored to Eden, and the Arava, and the plains will be restored to a garden. You put those words together, Midbara ke'eden, the Arvasa ke'gan, means Hashem will restore Gan Eden. So this is a metaphoric mention that the stakes are grand and high. We're not just looking to return to Yerushalayim, but to perfect the human condition. And not only are they grand, but they're also universal, because if it's Gan Eden that was once filled with sadness and betrayal, now Gan Eden will be filled with Sason v'simcha yimatziba, Toda v'kol zimra, all of humanity will benefit from the Jewish people's return to Gan Eden. So this is a parak, three prakim in Yeshaya, Mem Tes, Nun, and Nun Aleph. Basic theme is motherhood. Hashem is the mother of Tzion. Tzion is the mother of her children. And at some point, Hashem says, I have to account not just for the Jews returning to her mother, but also for the mother to be restored and to be retrieved.